This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This week, West Bloomfield Township lost a police officer in the line of duty, a tragic first for the community. 39-year-old Officer Patrick O'Rourke was responding to a shots-fired call at a home, thinking he was coming to help someone in distress. Instead, a blast of bullets through a bedroom door killed Officer O'Rourke. He leaves behind his wife, Amy, and four small children. His funeral will be tomorrow morning. Diane Philpott knows the agony of losing a loved one in the line of duty. Her husband was Detroit police officer Jerry Philpott. On May 25, 1995, Officer Jerry Philpott was killed by suspected gang members, leaving Diane to raise their then 7-month-old daughter, Caitlin. Since then, as part of the group My Cops, Michigan Concerns of Police Survivors, Diane Philpott reaches out to support the families of fallen officers. Diane, you've said My Cops literally saved your life after your husband was killed. How so?
I think the biggest thing is because you're in such shock and you're just trying to breathe. All the other stuff is very superfluous. It's like slow motion. It's happening. You don't want to be there. It's almost like a dream and you're kind of waiting to wake up knowing that you're not. I think your body can only take so much. And then when you have somebody walk in and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I lost my husband so many years ago, and I'm with this organization called the Michigan Concerns of Police Survivors, and there are many of us, and we are all here to support you. That stuck in my head as a lifeline. Even if right that second I wasn't ready to grab it, I knew there was there was somebody that made it. And they're not dead, because I really feel like I want to die. And that was my lifeline to say, okay, I got to call these people because I don't know how to do this.
From day to day.
From day to day. It was just, and without them, this, whole 17 years. And I'm still very involved with everybody and in helping the new survivors. It's just that lifeline you need, because so many weird things crop up about grief over the years that, most people think you're supposed to grieve 2 weeks and you're done. And it's no such thing. It's years and years, and sometimes you never get over it. So,
and for someone who has lost a police officer husband in the line of duty, as much as the rest of the world wants to say, we're so sorry, we're thinking of you, we're praying for you, only someone who's walked that journey really gets it.
Correct. And even then we tell people, your journey through grief is very personal. I can't say I know what you're going through. What I can say is I've been through a lot of the emotions you're going to go through, and I can tell you you're normal, which is a huge thing with a lot of the survivors, because you think about suicide. You think about stopping it. How do I stop the pain? You think about all these weird things, and you think there's something wrong with you when it's not. It's an absolutely normal process, and sometimes that's what really helps the survivor to get past it. It's like, oh, you thought of that too? Yes, I did, and numerous times, but I didn't act on it. All I know is I was in pain and I was trying to stop it.
Just as happened when your husband Jerry was killed in the line of duty in 1995, this week's death of Officer Patrick O'Rourke is such a reminder to the rest of us, the civilian world, of the risk that these men and women face every hour of every shift. And, of course, certainly after 9/11, there was such a huge sensitivity and awareness of the sacrifices our first responders and their families might be called on to make. So the question is that something that you and Jerry were aware of on a day-in, day-out basis?
You are, but, again, it's one of those things. I rely on my faith a lot. And if you love your job, which my husband loved being a police officer, if you can die doing what you love, it's so much better than being miserable, because we're all going to go. It's just, are you going to go if you're miserable? And really, a police officer is not even on the top 10 of losing your life in the line of duty. You're talking construction workers, taxi cab drivers. I mean, they're on the top of the list. So if you have to leave this earth knowing that you're here doing something that you love, then to me, that's still a blessing in disguise, even if you have to lose that person.
There's been such an enormous, enormous amount of emotion and support that's come. I see it all over Facebook, for instance, from the entire area for Officer O'Rourke's wife, Amy, and their four children. Have you reached out to them?
Yes, we have. We actually got a phone call right after it happened from West Bloomfield Police Department, because we're very close with them. We've helped them do their general orders. So in case this ever happened, which thank God we had that done, then they had everything in place to help the department and the family both. So they called us immediately. So last night, I know a bunch of the survivors met with the family, and they were so very grateful that, oh my gosh, I was just waiting to meet somebody that's been through this. And we're going to need your help. And for us, that means more to us than anything. And all over the pomp and circumstances, anything to do with, you know, benefits or all that stuff that people talk about, none of that matters to the survivor. What matters is I need somebody to help me through this because I don't know how to do it.
Now, I understand you can't speak for Mrs. O'Rourke, but I'm wondering, having had to lose your husband in the line of duty, if you could help us understand what's a helpful way of showing support and caring and what's not so helpful.
Well, don't try and fix it. I always tell people, I understand when you go to meet somebody and say, I'm just so sorry. Don't add anything to that. You know, don't promise something you're not going to do. Say you're going to give prayers. That's wonderful. That's a great feeling. But don't say something to try and fix it. Like, well, God wanted him as an angel. Okay, no, sorry. Not a good thing to say to somebody. If you talk to any of the survivors, and I really would love to write a book on this, what not to say to somebody that's grieving because of the stupid things that people say that they're trying to help. But I'll just tell you, I remember everything somebody said that I thought I wanted to punch them for. And they were friends of mine. Mm-hmm. So, and later on, after I got rid of the anger towards that, I understood what they were trying to do, but I'm just telling everybody, don't say anything more than I'm just sorry, and we're going to be praying for you. And then if you want to do something for the family, just do it. You know, don't tell them that you're going to not do it. Just if you want to mow the lawn, go mow the lawn. I came home one day and somebody had trimmed all my bushes, mowed my lawn. They brought me a Christmas tree the first year, bigger than my house. Just showed up at the door with it, and I'm like, okay. So if you want to do things like that, that's great for the family. But the biggest thing is just to offer your condolences and prayers and support them throughout the rest of their lives because they're just going to need it.
Your daughter, Caitlin, was an infant. She was a little 7-month-old when your husband was killed. And I know that I saw a clip of Mrs. O'Rourke expressing her worry that the little ones that she has won't remember their dad. How does Caitlin remember Jerry and think of Jerry?
Well, she actually has, even though she was 7 months old, there's at least two memories that are absolutely 100% I never told her anything about, and she had them. So for even a child that age, you'll be amazed at what they will say to you at one time. I think she was 3 or 4, and we were bowling, and it was in, you know, the lights were on and the music was playing, and I was talking with my girlfriend. She runs up and she goes, Mom, Daddy's song's on, mine and Daddy's song's on. I'm like, what? And I listened, and it's this song. It's a rap song called Tootsie Roll. And he used to hold her on his hand and dance with her all over the house, just holding her by her diaper. And I'm like, how do you remember that? I never told you that. So it was a real memory. So they might not have a lot of real memories, but you keep that memory alive by saying your dad used to do this. Or your dad. People will tell them stories from now until, you know, they're grown and they say, you know, I remember your dad did this. So it gives them a piece back, but you'd be surprised what they will remember even at that age. They'll remember something.
I would imagine after something like this week's terrible, terrible loss, there is a public outpouring of appreciation for officers, and then it kind of gets faded to the background. And something tells me officers and firefighters would probably appreciate a little of that post 9/11 awareness of what it is they do day in and day out.
Yeah, I think they need that. And I teach a lot at the academies. I also teach at survival trainings at some of the departments. And what I try and teach the public when I talk to them, too, is, you know, police officers are human beings and firefighters are human beings. We're not robots. They come when you call for help. So the object is when you see them next time, wave. They may think you're weird because they're not used to it. But my job is to try and give them a positive outlook, is wave at a police officer and smile. Wave at a firefighter and say, hey, how you doing today? That will make their day more than you could possibly imagine because they're usually not appreciated as much after this happens.
What do you think you have learned in having to carry on these 17 years since your husband was killed in the line of duty?
I think the biggest thing is to have patience with yourself and understand that you can go one step forward and 5 steps back and it's okay. And don't necessarily do what everybody else tells you you should do. You're spirit will tell you when it's time to do something or if it's okay to do something. People that tell you, well, you probably should do this or you should do that or you should get rid of his things or you should pack those up. You know what? I tell them this. We tell the survivors, you do whatever you want to do because what you want to do is correct. Not what everybody else wants to do. What you want to do is correct. So I think the biggest thing is to be kind to yourself and understand that any decision you make is okay. Not to worry about what everybody else says. It's your decision, your life, your kids. And be happy with the fact that you're going to make that decision and stick with it and not worry about everybody else.
How can the public support My Cops, the efforts of My Cops?
Well, we are a nonprofit, and we have a website, which is www.micops.org, and they can make donations on there. They can support any of our fundraisers, which we have, we'll list on there. And all the money, what we use the money for is for all the programs we have for the families. We have camp for the kids. We have Outward Bound for the teens. We have retreats for the parents, the in-laws, the spouses, the siblings, and the coworkers as well as adult children, because every single category of that survivor has a different relationship with the officer. And so we find that it works so much better to have them all get together and talk about their own issues. And it really helps all of them get through that and how to help the widow and how to help the children and how to help themselves. So you kind of try and heal everybody. And it's a great, great program. And it's like I said, we're national. Mm-hmm. So we have these programs, and My Cops actually pays for the families to go. So we have monthly support meetings. We send them to Washington, D.C. in May for the memorial. So there's a lot of really cool programs that we have for the families, and it's all over the state. So there's plenty of us around.
Thank you so much, Diane, for sharing your story with us today from My Cops. And Diane Philpott, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.